children of all ages, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com proudly brings to you, oh, you didn't know? You see, it's me, it's the G-U-double-T. Joining me later will be my co-host, J-C-D. But right now with me, a very special guest. She was a former WWE Tough Enough contestant and NXT diva. She now wrestles for FWE Wrestling in Brooklyn, New York. Please welcome Ivelisse Velez. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Very glad to have you on the show to promote an upcoming show that you will be at with FWE Wrestling, No Limits, on February 16th at St. Patrick's Gym in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. You'll be facing Revy Sky, and from what I understand, you made your FWE debut back at the Back to Brooklyn event in October.
That is correct.
You cut a promo proclaiming that you were an anti-diva during a match where Maria and Katarina Lee faced the beautiful people. You laid out Katarina with a DDT post-match.
Yeah, I wasn't planning on that, but that kind of happened.
Well, the first question I have for you, Ivelisse, is what does it mean to be an anti-diva?
Anti-diva, I mean, it's pretty down to the point. It's exactly what it sounds like. I'm pretty much, it's just the mentality of pretty much being against all that stands for what a cookie cutter diva is supposed to be. You know, usually you have WWE talent be looked at as, you know, like the best of the best and whatever, and like usually how they want divas to be portrayed is something that I don't agree with. I believe in strong female competitors that, you know, can be just as good as the guys, and, you know, and that's basically what an anti-diva means.
Do you think that there are other anti-divas in professional wrestling? If so, you know, who are they?
I mean, of course. I mean, no one can really just say, oh, they are the anti-diva. Some do, no one can really say they're the ultimate anti-diva or whatever, because anyone who has that same mentality about wrestling or female wrestling per se is can consider themselves an anti-diva, because it's just a mentality of would you want a wrestler or a model that is pretending to wrestle? You know what I'm saying? So I'm sure. There's a lot of anti-divas in the indies, and I just think that if we all came together and like in all women's wrestling shows, like in Shine or Shimmer and stuff like that, it proves that the fans really like that, and they want that back. Kind of like in the era when you had Trish Stratus, Lita, like now Tara and Tara, Jazz, like that kind of wrestling is what stood out to me when I was watching wrestling. And I wanted to bring that back when I was in WWE. Obviously that got cut up short for whatever reasons they were, which I can't say or don't want to. But just bringing that kind of, you know, that kind of feel to women's division is something that it totally needs. And the audience wants, obviously, because bringing that kind of a feel to wrestling when I was in the developmental system, they loved it. The fans loved it. They bought into it, and they want to see that. So hopefully that can come back to the main stage, you know, and everyone will be finally happy.
Yeah, like you said, it used to be more of that anti-diva mentality and that attitude with Jazz and Trish Stratus and the other ones that you mentioned. And now there's definitely been a push for more of the models in the mainstream, at least. But what about someone like Beth Phoenix, who I wouldn't necessarily consider?
Oh yeah, definitely.
That typical diva. Would she be an anti-diva?
Yeah, I mean, of course. I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure that's the kind of thing she was going for when they boasted the whole Divas of Doom thing.
Right.
When they had that going on, I'm sure that's what they were going for, but they couldn't call it something as, you know, as straightforward as plain and simple anti-diva. But I would say, yeah, Beth Phoenix, Natalya, you know, great in-ring performers. Karma, when she was there, like, that kind of, you know what I'm saying? That kind of talent, you know?
That kind of talent and definitely that kind of attitude, I think.
Yeah.
What about, let's talk a minute about Rebby Sky, who's going to be your opponent at FWE Wrestling on February 16th. What's the history between you and Rebby, and how did this match come about?
The history, I mean, there is none. I mean, I hadn't met her until Shine. I had heard of her a little bit, I know, you know, she's a model. You know, she started off her career doing modeling stuff. And I mean, I, just because I have that mentality or prefer that mentality of, like, being against the whole model-y type, like, it has nothing, like, I don't have anything against, you know, models who come in and try to, like, you know, do their thing or try to wrestle. Someone like Rebby Sky, like, you know, she started as, you know, a cookie-cutter diva model kind of wrestling, but from what I've seen, from what I've seen so far, I can see that she's putting into it, you know, everything she can, and that, you know, even though she's not, you know, what you would think an anti-diva would look like or be like, she definitely has respect for wrestling enough that she puts herself out there and she gives it her all and she keeps learning, you know, a good attitude. So at least that is respectable, you know, good enough for me to have respect, you know, as not only as a talent, but, you know, as a human being as well. And what matters, as long as she has that kind of, you know, passion and dedication, keyword dedication for it, then that really is all that matters. Who cares what she looks like? If she looks like a model, as long as she has that dedication, you know, that's really all that matters to me. And also the fact that she's Puerto Rican and very proud of it is also something that I really like. And all these things put into all together, like, makes it a match that's very interesting to me. So I'm really interested to see how it turns out, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, it sounds like you have a lot of respect for Rebby. Would you say that she has the same for you?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I guess I would hope so. As well, I mean, you know,
yeah.
Everybody's different, too. Everyone's entitled to her opinion or not, or to like me or not, or whatever. Regardless, you know, at the end of the day, I know that we're going to go in to that match, and I know for a fact that we're both going to do our best to put a good showing, you know?
Absolutely.
So.
I saw Rebby recently in New Jersey at an independent, an independent show with Pro Wrestling Syndicate. She was there with Matt Hardy, who she's been associated with recently.
Yeah.
They've made it very clear on Twitter that they're in a relationship. Are
mm-hmm.
you concerned at all that she will have Matt Hardy in her corner and maybe you need to have someone in your corner for the match?
No, not at all. I mean, I don't really see that as making a difference whatsoever. I'm ready for anything that comes at me, you know?
Absolutely.
And yeah.
Let's go to one of our questions that we got from one of your Twitter followers. At AmZBob asked, UK fans want to know just one thing. When can we see the anti-diva flying overseas to kick ass?
Wait, can you repeat that one more time?
No problem. AmZBob asks, the UK fans want to know just one thing.
Oh.
When can we see the anti-diva flying overseas to kick ass?
Actually, I'm not sure. I just got back from Mexico. That's already started. As far as UK, Europe, I don't know. I mean, if the opportunity comes, I'll gladly take it. I definitely want to go overseas to Europe and do some stuff. But at least so far right now, I don't have anything scheduled currently right now for Europe. I'm just starting up with trips to Mexico and stuff like that. So hopefully soon. I'm working on it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a dream and a goal for any wrestler or diva or anti-diva to wrestle in different countries and different locations.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely want to go to Japan as well. That's definitely always been an interest for me.
I would love to go to Japan. That is definitely on my list of places that I want to go to real soon. Now, in the past, you, like I said, were a WWE Tough Enough contestant, as well as on NXT, at least, for a short time.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about, the differences between those two? Tough Enough seems like it's more like a reality TV show, while NXT mm-hmm. is more the developmental territory of WWE.
Yeah. Both are two completely entirely different worlds. NXT, when I was there, it was FCW, and I was there through the transition to become NXT now. It's very, very busy kind of schedule, and a lot of training, and it's a lot of work. And Tough Enough was pretty hard, but it's obviously a shorter time period. It's you have different stuff, like the challenges that we did in Tough Enough and stuff like that. And you got in Tough Enough, you get to meet a couple of the stars and stuff like that.
What was the most difficult challenge?
The most difficult challenge of the time I was there. I can't say the dog one. That one was pretty fun. I don't know. The one of the cheerleading was kind of hard,
okay,
a little bit. Because I had to be super girly and cheery and and that was totally not me. I remember Trish saying, I know that you don't like this right now, but you're doing well. You're being a good sport.
Yeah, that sounds more like a typical diva than an anti-diva.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. But from the ones I remember, I would say that one maybe.
Okay, great. Now you mentioned Trish and Jazz and Lita. Are those some of the anti-divas that you look up to and influenced you to become a wrestler?
Well, like I said earlier, that's, I would say that's kind of the era. I just turned 24, so whoever would be watching, I'm not leaving anybody out. I'm sure, obviously there's great performers before that era of the older times. But I'm just saying that because of my age, that was the era of wrestling that I grew up watching and what inspired me. Definitely Victoria, which now Tara and TNA, Jazz, Trish, Lita, when they had all that going on, Ivory, Jacqueline, all of that, I felt like they were all strong female competitors, and they all had their little, niche about them. Each one had their own persona, and obviously that's what makes people get into whatever's going on. You know what I'm saying? And I would say that that's the era that inspired me. There's no particular person. Just everyone had, there was something about each one of them that inspired me to do that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I am a similar age, a few years older, but grew up in the same era and watched the same thing. And that was probably when the divas and the women and especially WWE, were probably at their peak, I would say, during that era. So it must have been such a dream to be able to work with Trish Stratus that closely when you were doing Tough Enough.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, right off the bat, like, we had that connection. Like, right off the bat, she even said to the other girl, she's like, hey, this girl right here, she could be, this will be someone who you can learn from, and kind of, you know, and, like, I remember her even saying, hey, I want to get in the ring with you. Never happened, unfortunately, but, like, I remember, if I would have been at that time, like, I'm sure that would have been, like, awesome. But I did get a chance to work Tara in my tryout match with TNA as well, a little after I was released. That was awesome too. Great to work with. And hopefully, I mean, who knows, if I go back, if the opportunity comes back to go back to WWE, I'm looking forward to whatever I, you know, to make the best of that, and if I get an opportunity to go to TNA, if that happens, then I'm more than gladly to be, would love to try to do the best I could with the competitors there. Yeah, I think I got sidetracked on my point was.
Absolutely. Good luck with that. You know, one thing I noticed when you were with FCW, NXT, you went by the name Sophia Cortez. And, you know, yeah. I find it very interesting when WWE gives out these different names, random names to different people. And then we see you guys go to the indies and using your own name. So where did the name Sophia Cortez come from?
Well, actually, believe it or not, we actually do get a lot of say, at least in the developmental system. I can't say in the main roster because I never got to be in the main roster, but we actually do have a lot of say on our names. Sophia Cortez was my last resort I kept throwing names, and I wanted to have a strong, Latin sounding name just because I really want to represent my heritage. Apparently the names that I thought were really simple turned out to be too complicated. So I just kept going, leading out until I tried to find the most simplest Latin name. So I don't know. That's just pretty much how it came about.
Right. I remember talking with John Morrison, Johnny Nitro, whatever name you want to call him, and him saying something very similar, that he gave Vince McMahon a list of names to choose from. And that's how he came up with his name. Mm-hmm. So it sounds to be, sounds like you do get to have, you know, a lot of say in that sort of thing. I think we're being joined by my co-host now, JCD. Let's see if he's on.
Hey, is this working?
It's working, man.
Nice.
JCD, welcome back to the show. We are on with Ivelisse Velez.
How's it going?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey.
This is John, JCD, my usual co-host. Because of the phone number change, he had a little difficulty getting onto the show, but we worked it out.
Awesome.
Yeah, so, IT stuff going on.
So, John, we've been talking about a lot of things here, what an anti-diva is, Ivelisse's experience with NXT and Tough Enough. What question do you have for her?
Well, first off, what was the whole developmental process like down in Florida, down in FCW?
Very busy.
Even coming off Tough Enough, they still treated you as if you were someone they just signed, like from ROH or, you know, something like that? Or was there anything different, being that you had the Tough Enough experience with the mindset kind of already started to be distilled into you?
Can you repeat that question?
Okay, yeah. No, what I said was, I was wondering if there was any difference in the way they handled you because you had some Tough Enough experience versus someone.
No, not at all. just like anybody else. I mean, I feel like I didn't have any kind of special treatment or anything like that coming right off Tough Enough or anything like that. Not at all.
Well, no, not special treatment, but, like, they try to, like, I know, like, when they bring people in from, let's say, ROH or other independents, they try to completely, like, brainwash them from everything you know to this is what we want you to know. When I was wondering,
as far as what, exactly?
Like, the way you work in the ring, your ring style. Being that you had Tough Enough already under your belt, did you have to go through that again?
I would say some stuff. There's obviously certain things that they want a certain way, and like having a background in wrestling, it's not that hard to kind of tweak here and there a couple of things, but not a lot. I wouldn't, you know, it's not a lot. It's just there's certain things that they want done a certain way, and they have certain rules that they have a certain way as far as like in-ring performance and whatever, and most of it makes sense. And it felt good to be able to improve my work regardless how much time I had in wrestling, how much experience or where I worked or anything like that. It felt good to be able to improve my ring skills or TV film taping skills or promo skills, anything like that. Like it was very useful. A very useful time to learn a lot about everything involved, not just wrestling.
Cool. Well, I'm sure Seth told you we'll be at FWE on the 16th in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Checking, you're going up against Reba Sky, right?
Yes, correct.
Yep, we'll be there to check that out.
We do have one other question from one of your fans on Twitter.
Yeah.
At Fueled by Ree asks, it's safe to say that you have a large fan base, and this is seen majorly on Facebook, Twitter, and your fan site, elise-velez.com.
Mm-hmm.
How does it feel having so much support, and what would be one thing you would say to your soldiers?
My soldiers. Well, I mean, obviously, I can't thank anybody enough. I mean, if I would say my last story, I mean, it's way too much to talk about, and it's been really crazy and really hard for me. So to have any kind of support is very helpful to me, and endlessly appreciated. Without that kind of support, I wouldn't be able to get to where I got to or where I'm headed, wherever that may be. And I can never thank anybody enough. Even the haters too. It's all motivation. I could never say thank you enough. That's what drives me, you know. I just hope that also that kind of belief that I'm able to inspire in others, in me, I just hope that I could inspire that kind of belief in my fans, my soldiers or whatever, to be able to inspire them to do what they want to do, and you know, that's really my biggest dream above anything else, is to be able to inspire people to do their best in their own lives too, you know, and get to where they want to be.
Absolutely. John, you have any other questions?
Have you heard from, I know you can't comment on certain things, but has anyone from TNA reached out to you since you have been gone?
I kind of knew you were going to say that. I can't really talk about that, but I mean, thank God I've had a lot of activity happen. I just got back from Mexico. I have my fight coming up in Chicago in March 1st. There's a lot of stuff going on right now. So I can't comment on that, I'll just say that there's a lot going on and a lot planned.
Yeah, sounds like there are a lot of doors that are open.
Yes, thank God.
That's very good. Any What are your goals going forward? I mean, sounds like like I said, the doors are open. Are TNA and WWE, you know, do you hope to get back to the mainstream or how is it being in the indies?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely want to try to get back on track, and obviously everyone wants to make it to the mainstream and all that, and I'm trying to do my best to try to get everything going, not even just wrestling, like, just try to get as much going as possible on, like, music or acting. My main goal, ultimate goal, is to, as far as entertainment world is concerned, is to hopefully make it to the movies. Still have quite a long way to go, but I'm still working on everything right now.
Well, definitely not unheard of. There's definitely been a lot of wrestlers who have done just that. I know. Eve Torres just left WWE and seems like she maybe wants to focus more on family, but she's also been more involved with entertainment, with TV and things like that.
Yeah.
So there's definitely been a big and a lot of wrestlers doing that.
Mm-hmm.
John, any other questions?
No, I mean, I know we couldn't really delve into the TNA, WWE thing, which is fine. And, you know, I was more really interested in the whole Tough Enough crossing over to NXT thing. NFCW,
yeah.
You know, that was good to know. Any interest in Ring of Honor? And I know we talk about TNA and WWE, but what about, like, Ring of Honor? I know you did a Shimmer show. So any interest in, like, Shimmer long term, or you're looking just to maybe use these platforms to get back to where you want to be?
I did Shine.
Shine
in
Shimmer, Shine.
Yeah. That's fine. Shine. I really don't, like, I'm the kind of person that if the opportunity comes, I would gladly explore that opportunity and try to make the best of it. If Ring of Honor would come knocking on my door and asking, hey, you want to do, I'll look into it, and if it looks good, then I'll go right into it. Or Shimmer, you know, so if it happens, it happens. But at least so far, it hasn't. So
I'm surprised ROH, especially since the fact that you were like Maria and, you know, with Matt Hardy in ROH right now, that means Reba's not too far away. So I'm surprised they haven't kind of pulled all you guys in together to kind of you know, work. Being that you guys are working in FWE already together, I'm surprised they haven't. That's just a personal thing. I'm surprised they haven't pulled you guys all in together yet to ROH, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think those are all the questions that we have for you. Any last thoughts that you want to, you know, give to your fans, to your soldiers, to all those listening, leading up to your match with Sky at FWE Wrestling in February?
First, obviously, thank you, everyone, for all your support, SWE, February 16th, make sure you make it out. You do not want to miss this. If you can't make it because you live somewhere else, then obviously order the IA pay-per-view. Me versus Revy Sky, definitely two Puerto Rican girls going at it is quite something to see. I'll see you all there.
All right,
yeah, definitely. Looking forward to it.
Well, Ivelisse, thank you so much for joining us here on PWP Radio. We really appreciate it. We wish you the best of luck on February 16th and hope to see you, you know, in TNA, WWE, ROH. Just hope to see a lot more of you in the future in wrestling and in all of entertainment.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks again for joining us.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me. Next.
Thanks for being on.
All right, that was Ivelisse Velez from FWE Wrestling, former Tough Enough contestant and FCW diva, or as she would call herself, an anti-diva. Don, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, you?
I'm good. You want to talk some Royal Rumble news and rumors and just predictions for the Rumble?
Yeah, why not? Let's delve all into that, you know. Let's delve into that. Let's delve into that train wreck Cena promo, and let's delve into the heel turn that still doesn't make a lot of sense to me, the Taz thing. Yeah, we got a lot of stuff we can do in a half hour.
All right, so what do you want to start with?
Well, I mean, I figure let's reverse it. Let's go TNA.
Okay, with Taz?
Yeah. I like it for the shock value, but realistically, what's he going to do? He can't take bumps. And if he's got to be a mic guy for that group, that's a bad sign for where the rest of that group is headed. If they don't feel like, excuse me, that they got enough guys who can work the stick, that they got to drag, that they got to drag Taz out to be the stick guy for this group. I don't know. Looking back on it now, damn, still can't shake that cough. What do you think about what TNA did Thursday night?
Well, I don't watch it as much as a lot of other people do, but you know, I did obviously watch that that episode and that instance, the turn. You know, TNA gets a lot of criticism for their poor storytelling and just the overall poor booking. The Aces and Eights thing has gone on for so long. But it was great to see them do something a little more surprising and finally do get some shock out of the fans.
Yeah, it was shocking, but now it's like, what do you do with it, especially when you got a guy who can't really do anything?
Well, he would probably be the mouthpiece for the group, wouldn't you think?
That's not going to say much, though, for the rest of the guys in that group if he's got to be the mouthpiece. That means whoever else they're going to unmask, that doesn't say much.
Why do you say that?
Well, because here's the thing. I understand the whole role of a manager, and if you look at all the names that were going to be rumored to be eventually revealed, you know, Jeff Jarrett, Bischoff, I mean, I understand the young guys like Garrett Bischoff and Wes Briscoe and all that, and Mike Knox, but even like Luke Gallows has done a hell of a, has really surprised me with his mic work. Devon's been phenomenal. I don't, looking back on it, I mean, do you really just need a heel announcer for them? I mean, I can't really see him doing much more than that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's obviously been a commentator for a long time. And it wouldn't surprise me if TNA really didn't have, you know, long-term plans here.
You know, TNA not have a long-term idea with a storyline. What are you talking about? That's crazy.
All right. I don't know that any wrestling promotion really does, you know.
Yeah.
They don't want to plan too far ahead in advance. But... you know, I guess they'll see what the reaction is, and who knows? Who knows what the next step is?
Yeah, well, I guess we'll see what happens, or read about it at least.
Right.
Because I think they're taping 4 weeks worth of TV, I think, in the next like 3 days in London.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So plus they tape this week already, so they're gonna have about 5 weeks tape. I don't think they go live again until like March.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
What's next? Any more TNA or
nah? No, that's way too much TNA time.
All right.
What'd you think of?
Very close.
What'd you think of Skidmark's 187 Monday night?
You know, it's interesting. I was talking to Jay a little bit about it last night here on PWP Radio, and I have students in my class who are huge John Cena fans. And so I asked one of them today, you know, what did you think of that speech that John Cena John Cena gave, and they're like, it was good, it was great, I really enjoyed it. And, you know, it's just, it's so obvious that, that they just continue to gear his character a certain way. And there will always be, you know, that situation. It's also interesting to see, like, if that kid, was that kid really a John Cena fan? I mean, he didn't seem, like, overly excited to be, you know, to have John Cena be talking to him.
Yeah, I read that there was a lot of people kind of shaking their heads backstage, like, what the hell is he talking about? And I also read that, I've heard some things that they just felt like he lost the wheels off where he was going halfway through that thing, which is really unlike him.
Yeah, this didn't really make much sense.
Yeah.
It wasn't about anything.
Yeah, and I think it was Graham on Twitter today had a great, great Cena scenario, and I was reading it in the later part of this afternoon, and it would work, but I don't think they would do it. Graham kind of had Cena playing the Shawn Michaels role of 2 years ago, just obsessed, you know, with wanting to get his hands on The Rock one more time, that if Cena doesn't win the Rumble, then you'd have Cena come out and cost Rock the title later on. And it was a really good way that Graham went about it, bringing up the Shawn Michaels thing, with Michaels being obsessed with The Undertaker, that when Michaels didn't win the Rumble, he cost Taker the title and told Taker, come get your revenge on me like that. It's a different twist to get to Rock Cena, too.
Absolutely. I mean, I wrote today, actually, five candidates most likely to interfere in the WWE title match, and John Cena is absolutely on there.
Yeah, I saw that. That was a great read by you.
Thank you. You know,
no problem. You
helped me out with my twists and turns. Everyone loved that one.
Oh,
that one.
28 and 29 eliminate themselves, and all 30 has to do is walk in and win the Rumble.
Exactly.
Yeah.
People are loving that. But back to the interfering in the WWE title match, it just seems so likely that someone's going to interfere in that match, especially after we heard that the Shield can't. And
I'll give you something different with this.
Yeah.
What if the Shield attacks Punk?
That would be very interesting.
And Punk wins by DQ.
I don't know. I think that would be a really weak ending if he lost by DQ.
Well, the only reason why I say the DQ, only because Rocky's going to wrestle at Elimination Chamber, so you'll probably get a rematch at Chamber between... You might get a rematch at Chamber between the two of them, so that would just be the way to segue the rematch. But, like, the Shield comes out, everyone thinks they're going to attack Rock, everyone thinks Punk's going to get stripped of the title, and then they like, I would just have, like, Ambrose walk in the ring and, like, slap Punk in the face and walk out and get Rocky disqualified, and then have Punk say, hey, you only said I would be stripped of the title if they attacked him. You never said anything about them attacking me.
Right. I mean, everyone keeps talking about how you know, we're assuming that he's aligned with Punk, when it's really more Heyman that is, it seems like it's more likely to be with.
Yeah, I wrote an article like that on the main site a couple of weeks ago about how I really think Heyman's going to be the catalyst for the Punk face turn. I really do. And I think little stuff like this is going to play out. But yeah, I've said it since day one. I thought Punk was going to retain, but lately, the last week or 2 weeks, I think it's becoming more and more obvious. I think he's going to walk out with the title someday. I really do.
Yeah, I'm sort of leaning that way, too. It just seems like they might do something else with The Rock, or even, you know, keep him in the hunt through WrestleMania.
Yeah, the only thing I'm surprised, especially with Rocky on the last three Raws, they've kept him and Cena way, way apart from each other.
Right.
Like, not even like a backstage segment. And that's the only thing that makes me still think they're gonna do that match again. However they go about doing it, I don't know. But I definitely think they're going to do that match again, because they're keeping them away from each other, so when they have to bring them back together, it's got that special feeling again. and it's not just like, oh, okay, here we go again with the rematch.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we don't want to get bored or see the same thing for so long, especially if they want to build towards a WrestleMania match again. You know, how much can The Rock really do? As you and I have talked about many times, he can only do or say so much.
Yep, Punk. That's why I set it up the Monday night. Punk 4, Rock 0. I think Punk totally took him on the mic. I do. I think all the four times that they were on shows together, I think Punk took them every single time.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously I think The Rock is a funnier character, and, I mean, obviously he's the face in this situation, so he's going to be funnier. Punk's character is not really supposed to be funny right now. But it just seems like The Rock isn't saying much other than, I'm going to beat you on Sunday.
Yeah, that's it. And Punk, every time Punk has, you know, the three times on Raw, the SmackDown promo at Sun Life Stadium, Punk has just made it seem like, I don't care what, you can make whatever jokes about me you want, you can say this, you can say that, but at the end of the day, I'm going to kick your ass. And that's why it's like, you know what, Punk has gotten the better of him on this. Like, you know, like, the Rock concert was great. The problem was, the Rock concert was a bad thing to do when you got him leading into the Rumble, and he should have been more focused on Punk.
Right.
You know, he's cracking jokes, and meanwhile, a half hour earlier, right after Punk beats Brodus Clay, again, Punk's like, you could sing your songs, you could do whatever, I'm going to kick your ass. You know? You're not taking this belt from me.
What do you think about the idea that the loser of the WWE title match will enter and do very well, possibly even win the Rumble match?
I think Punk Rock is going to main event that show. That's the only thing. I can't see that match not main eventing.
Yeah, I mean, it's very possible. However, if the Rumble match does main event, then that might be a sign that we will see the loser in that match.
Yeah, and that means that Rocky's going to win the title. I can't see Rocky in the Rumble. Unadvertised. I can't see that. I could see it more with Punk. I can't see Rock unadvertised in the Rumble.
Well, what if, you know, Punk does lose to Rock, but then goes and wins the Rumble?
I've seen that. I think you've said it.
A couple
people have seen it. That's come up. That.
I just feel one of the most exciting parts of this year's Royal Rumble is that it can just go in so many different directions.
I gotta be honest with you, I don't know if it can. I think there's, unless they're really pulling our leg with what WrestleMania is gonna be, I don't know if the Royal Rumble can go so many different. I hate to say it, because I would hate to see him win it, but I really think it's a one-man show. I really think it's Cena's show.
I think Cena is the favorite, and that is the obvious choice here, as we bring in Will TLD from PWP Radio.
It's lovely to be here tonight. It's a very rare, special occasion to be with you guys.
How's
everybody
doing?
Nice interview, by the way.
Thank you very much.
What's up, Will?
Not much, John. I've been hearing you ran down TNA, and now we're talking Royal Rumble, right?
Yep. Absolutely. John's saying that, you know, it's a one-man show here. It's very obvious that John Cena is going to win the Royal Rumble. And I think that is the obvious thinking. However, I will be disappointed if that happens. As long as John Cena does not win the Royal Rumble, I will be happy, because I don't want it to go the obvious way. We thought that Shawn Michaels and Steve Austin and all these guys were going to be at the Raw's 20th anniversary because the news told us they were, and it turned out to be wrong. And so I'm hoping that the popular news that we are seeing, talking about Cena Rock beats Punk and then Cena wins the Rumble and then they face at WrestleMania, I don't want to see that happen. That's too obvious and boring.
Well, you know, it's about what sells tickets, you know, and, you know, if 1.3 million people bought The Rock versus John Cena last year, what makes you think they won't buy it or perhaps going the triple threat route, which I think one of you guys mentioned last time that that could be a possibility. You know, there's a lot of open area this year because I don't think they're going to repeat The Rock and John Cena. I just can't see them doing that again. You know, they're not. It wasn't like it was a five-star match. If it was a five-star match and, you know, the outcome, well, you know, if it was like a Shawn Michaels Undertaker, I could see that being like an idea. But it wasn't match of the year, like, you know, candidate, at least in my opinion. So I don't think they're going to do it. But I could see The Shield even screwing on Cena rather than screwing CM Punk or The Rock. That could be a possibility. The Shield has not been mentioned to be in the Rumble. So I don't know if they're even going to be in the Rumble this year. I think they're going to do something in the Rumble where they're going to cause a stoppage to the Rumble or something along those lines. Or maybe even throw everybody out just to stop that whole Rumble.
Yeah, you make a very good point. I've been wondering for a while whether or not The Shield would be actual participants in the Rumble.
I actually like that, Will.
Or will they just come in and throw Ryback out?
I could see The Shield not even being in the Rumble and actually, you know, screwing a couple of wrestlers out, which could definitely lead Elimination Chamber to be, you know, a bye, just because if, let's say, The Shield throws four or five of those wrestlers out. We had that situation with the Final Four pay-per-view back in 97. You know, why not throw something like that again but with a different twist this time?
I like that.
Thank you.
I like that. The last, like, four or five guys in the ring, and then you just have The Shield coming and clear them all out.
So TLD, are you with the popular choice that John Cena is going to win this Rumble?
Well, on PWP Radio, I was, on the YouTube show, you hearing that I thought that was the right choice, and I thought Ryback was the right choice. You know, but after the way he was kind of shown on Monday Night Raw, I got a difference of opinion now, because if you remember at the ending, they had 20 people come out with 20 microphones, and they didn't showcase Pride back in the end. He kind of just came in as one of the guys, you know, so I thought he was going to be, like, coming in as a monster, throwing people out, and it wasn't like that, so it led me to think that John Cena might be the winner of the Rumble this year just because of that. You know, like I said, John Cena's been on the losing end for a whole year, basically, since WrestleMania. So he kind of earned a victory like this, and he needs to get this victory to get back into the hunt. So that's why I think he deserves to win, because he's put people over in the last year.
What do you think, John?
I really think I really think that's where they're going. I think it's going to be Cena. I can't see it going anywhere else. And, you know, we talked about this last night. You know, like Will said, excuse me, even if he didn't come out to do the interview part of it, when all those guys came out, I was waiting for his music to hit and him to come in and toss guys out, and then I saw him in the corner, I think, fighting, like, Titus O'Neil, and I was like, oh, wow, he's already out there. They've knocked him down a few pegs in 1 week, and I can't see any other scenario playing out. I really can't.
You know, an interesting thing is not a lot of superstars have won two Royal Rumble matches. You think about it, you got Hulk Hogan, you got Shawn Michaels, you got Steve Austin. Was there any others?
Two?
We won at least two.
No, those are the guys.
So...
Wait, Hunter? No, Hunter's got one.
Hunter's only got one.
Yeah, Taker's got one.
So, I wouldn't be surprised if John Cena did join that group, because, I mean, if you think about who John Cena is, and you know, he definitely belongs in the category with those guys. So, for that reason, I wouldn't be surprised to see, whether it's this year, another John Cena Royal Rumble win.
Unless Orton's going to turn full heel and join The Shield, then maybe that's how Orton could win. But, you know, I can't see it being anybody other than Cena.
What do you think about the WWE Tag Team Championships? Are we going to see new champions?
Yes. Yeah, I think it's time.
I agree. I think that we've seen this. First of all, we've seen this feud go on long enough. It needs to end. And I think Team Hell No, you know, they eventually need to break up. So I think that, you know, that would be an opportunity.
We also talked about this last night. It kind of looks like, I think, Will, you were on board with this too, right? That Kane and Bryan are going to eliminate, one of them is going to eliminate the other one.
Yeah, I said that too. I think that's going to happen too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely see that as a possibility also, that it could, and it's okay because it fits their gimmick anyway, so it's all right for that to happen, but I don't think they're going to lead up to it. I don't know. I mean, I guess there could be a feud, but really, who's going to be the heel in this situation? Really kind of, they're kind of both the heel and a face in a way, so I don't know how that's going to work. I think, if anything, Kane should be the one that should, you know, he's been kind of the guy who's been the face out of this whole group. So I wouldn't be surprised if Kane is the one that actually turns on him.
Yeah, I think Kane is the obvious one to do that. But I'm hoping to see Bryan eliminate Kane. I think that would be a little more interesting than Kane eliminating Bryan.
Yeah, I think that I could definitely see that playing out. And I'll give you something else I could definitely see.
Yeah.
63 minutes. That would be the number to beat Mysterio. I'm telling you, we all said it last night. We all have Ziggler in our final four. Don't be surprised if Ziggler breaks that record.
And don't be surprised if Ziggler and Cena open the Rumble and are the final two as well.
Yeah, you wrote that today, right?
It's too obvious. That's why I don't think they'll do it. I think Cena will be an early entrant. I don't think he'll be one of those last entrants. If anything, they'll have Dolph Ziggler get thrown out by Cena, if anything. So, you know, tough to say.
Well, you know, when we have the first two entrants begin the Royal Rumble, there's always a relationship between the two. Last year it was Miz and Alex Riley. I know in the past the Axe and Smash from Demolition were the first two. There's always a relationship between the two. So I actually wrote an article looking at different potential candidates to start the Rumble match with Ziggler. And because I do think that it will be someone that Ziggler has a past with, whether it's Cena, maybe Zack Ryder, Jack Swagger even.
How about Ziggler-Bryan?
Ziggler-Bryan could work. They don't have as much of a direct...
No, but those are two guys that can start that thing off and go deep into that thing.
Yeah. TLD, what do you think?
If Zack Ryder goes in, he ain't gonna be lasting too long, you know, if he goes in the beginning. You know, or it could be Big E, and then those two, you know, could be the two guys. Or even Christian, because I know rumor has it Christian should be well enough to come back. You know, so it could be it's hard to say this year on the, you know, I always like the first two. You know, we know now a guarantee that Ziggler's in it, which, by the way, I don't agree on how he got there, but it was a little silly on the way that happened.
See, that actually makes sense, though.
No, not when she's a heel and he's a heel, and now she's being a face on the heel. It doesn't make any sense at all.
I don't know. I mean, think about it. He left her for AJ. She's vindictive. You know?
Yeah, but the crowd cheers that, and that's not how, you know, you're not supposed to cheer. There's no reaction to it. If it was Booker T coming in and saying it, it's a different story. But when it's Vicky doing it, it's like, what was the point of the beat the clock challenge if she was going to all this time the person be number one or number two? It completely went against the idea of it, where it said the wrestler gets to choose the number. It wasn't at all ever said that the general manager was going to choose it. You know, that's why I don't think it made sense.
I don't know. I still think they all end up together, so maybe that's why I'm reading a little... excuse me, a little too much together. I think they're all going to end up together. Vicky, AJ, Ziggler, Langston, and I could see, like, another guy or two with them.
Yeah, maybe it's weird because, obviously, they're all heels, so why don't they, you know, get along? And so it seems like Vicky is obviously against them, but then again, she's a heel, so... It's interesting.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be an interesting Rumble. You know, there's some years where, you know, things weren't too interesting. You know, I thought last year's Rumble was very good. I just watched it last night, you know, and some of the interesting stuff they did last year. And let's hope for some good surprises this year. I just want to see Hacksaw Jim Duggan again. That's all. I always pop for that.
Yeah, there are. It's always exciting to see who the surprise entrants are.
Yeah, I know they're talking about maybe Shelton Benjamin, John Morrison, MVP, Tommy Dreamer, although I don't know if Dreamer being on Impact last week, I don't know if they're going to then roll him into the Rumble. But yeah, this could be an interesting little guest appearance group this year. I definitely think you're going to get the New Age Outlaws for sure.
I was thinking that. I was definitely thinking that. I definitely want to hear an "Oh, you didn't know" for a number of reasons.
Well, we saw it last year.
We saw Road Dogg last year, and Billy Gunn's been doing more with WWE this year, so, you know, hopefully we see them together in the match. All right, guys.
Yeah.
Any last things before we close out the show?
Yeah, well, one thing I want to mention is that we are going to have a Royal Rumble recap that is going to be hosted by Mr. Jersey Strong J and myself on Sunday night, right after the Rumble. So, listening in, we will be doing a pay-per-view recap. Join us for that. But until then, you can go to our PW Powerhouse TV site on YouTube. You can check out our predictions for the Royal Rumble, LSM history from the last couple years at the Royal Rumble. You should definitely check that out.
Awesome. JCD, anything else before we head out?
No, I'm good. I did get a new gimmick last night. What was it, Will? The knowledge guy or something?
Oh, dude, how about this? The fans can find out by going onto iTunes and downloading the episode. Don't give it away.
That's right.
There you go. All right. Well, Will, you want to do any shout-outs for you, your things, PWP, anything?
Oh, my things. Okay, well, my things are, thank you for saying it's my things, it's
PWWrestling.com,
and also BrookwoodPort.com, where you can check out all the webisodes I do for pro wrestling. You can check out some of my matches. TLDWrestling.com, where you can buy all my TLD merchandise, including the TLD Valentine's Day store, which is going up very soon, so check that out.
Great.
You want some love tips? TLD will give you some good love tips.
Ooh, I could use some of those.
Allie Parker next Wednesday.
John, we got Allie Parker next Wednesday on Oh, You Didn't Know. Any articles you're working on now?
No, I'll probably just I'll do the third installment of the week that was on Friday, and then I'll probably do a Rumble recap article Monday or Tuesday.
That sounds good. Follow these guys at TLD Wrestling, at JCD1219NY. You could follow me on Twitter, at Seth Gutt, SETHGUTT. Check out ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, as well as my site, GutWrenchPowerBlog.com. That's Gut with two T's, WrenchPowerBlog.com. I'm a WWE featured columnist now, as of today, level 2 on Bleacher Report. And I got a lot of Rumble articles there to check out. So do that. And we'll be back next Wednesday with Allie Parker and a new Royal Rumble winner. And guys, if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you.
Skid marks 187.
That's more than two words.
Later.